This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the podcast version of Ben and Woods. Thanks for finding us wherever you are, radio.com, downloading the radio.com app, or, of course, you can listen to us on your smart speaker, and make sure you subscribe so you get our content every single day.
Absolutely. And there's lots of other podcasts from other hosts here in the building and here at 97.3. Make sure to check those out as well. But right now, back to Ben and Woods.
Ben and Woods, waking you up on a Wednesday morning. If that alarm is going off at 6 o'clock right now, welcome to your day. We've already been going for an hour. Well, Woods and Paul and Hammer have been going for an hour. I've been going for about 30 minutes, but we got three more hours to go. We'll talk a little NFL playoffs coming up at 6:35. Mick Schaefer, our guy in Kansas City, TV newscaster, Action News, one of our favorites, though. He's getting ready to... little playoff coverage at home, Arrowhead Stadium, Chiefs against the Tennessee Titans. We'll catch up with Mick coming up at 6:35. Later, we'll talk some college basketball in our 7 o'clock hour, 7:35, with our college basketball analyst, Jim Herrick Jr., going to be with us at 7:35. All the usual features on a Wednesday, and we've added to the usual features, Woodsy, with something we call the Rindle Report.
Indeed.
You're listening to the Rindle Report on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
I thought it was interesting when you started the show talking about Paul's fiance Megan slightly mispronouncing Paul's last name. And then you went to the intro of the Rindle Report as proof positive of how it should be said.
Yeah.
But there's no reason that that guy, whoever that was, like your buddy who recorded that, got it right either.
Yeah, I mean, he just cares about me and takes an interest in my life.
Right.
It's my last name.
Right. Like, everybody knows it's Paul, especially, like, we're not engaged to him, and we know his name is Paul Rindle.
A lot of people in town call him Paul Rindle.
No one has ever called him Paul Rindle.
Oh, yes.
Never.
Absolutely.
I've never heard it.
Plenty of people
have. One person. Megan has.
All right.
Rindle.
Wow.
More than one.
My
right,
favorite, though, by the way, is he starts off the Rindle Report the same way every day.
All right. Guys, we briefly mentioned it on Monday, but reports are that ESPN is trying to lure Tony Romo away from CBS, and they are trying hard. Romo is in the final year of his contract with CBS, and he currently makes about $4 million per year. It's being reported that ESPN is offering him between $10 and $14 million per year to sign with them, and he would replace Booger McFarland on Monday Night Football. This would make Romo the highest-paid sportscaster in history. Is he worth it, in your opinion?
He's pretty awesome. He's pretty awesome at what he does. Booger's Booger. He's not that great, but he's way better than Jason.
He's what you expect for a guy named Booger.
Yeah, that's exactly right. He's better than Jason Witten, right? Jason Witten was so bad. Tessitore, people don't like him. I think he's fine. I get a kick out of him.
He's a guy.
Romo, though, is great. He's great. Here's the deal. I'm watching Monday Night Football regardless. Like, it doesn't really matter. You could have Paul Hreindel up there calling the game.
Sure,
I'm watching the game.
There's no reason that Monday Night Football shouldn't have one of the absolute best analysts in all of football.
And he's great.
And Booger's not. He's just not. And I gave him a fair shot, you know, 2 years now, and I don't dislike him actively, but there's just a lot of it's just some obvious comments, some comments that just don't make sense sometimes. He had a really bad
spike
game
in
the wild card round of the playoffs, had a big game in some big moments. Tony Romo, when he makes so many comments that just become instantly true. Like, watch for this right here. All right, this is a good chance you're going to see this right here. He is so dialed in to what these teams are doing. He is definitely one of the top three analysts in the game, if not the top analyst. Chris Collinsworth, obviously, has been doing it a long time. He's got the Sunday night gig. That's a premier one. Tony Romo should have his pick of wherever he wants to go.
And I got no problem with a guy going out and getting his bread or his chicken. You know, go out and get your chicken, dude. I love it.
That's ESPN.
He's really good.
If you're going to devote big-time resources toward one job on your network,
that's the one.
Monday Night Football analyst is probably the one that you're going to spend the most on. Now, remember we had Richard Deitch, national sports media columnist and reporter on last week. He kind of poo-pooed that report.
Yeah.
Tossed it aside and said, I don't know that ESPN's really offering that much to Tony Romo. They're doing their due diligence. They're looking into Tony Romo. Take that. I don't know where those numbers come from, $10 to $14 million. That is an awful lot of money.
It's a lot of dough.
For a football analyst. But, it's John Gruden's seat. It was John Madden's seat. Someone needs to be a worthy successor on Monday Night Football. We've yet to find it. Tony Romo could be that guy.
100%.
Well, speaking of protecting your chicken, do you guys see Panthers linebacker Luke Kuechly announced yesterday that he is retiring from the NFL? Kuechly is 28 years old. He turns 29 in April. Joins players like Andrew Luck, Rob Gronkowski, Calvin Johnson, all guys that retired at fairly early stages in their careers. He posted a video. It's about 3.5 minutes. I got a clip from it here. Got pretty emotional saying goodbye to the fans of Carolina.
There's only one way to play this game since I was a little kid is to play fast and play physical and play strong. And at this point, I don't know if I'm able to do that anymore. And that's the part that is the most difficult is I still want to play, but I don't think it's the right decision. So thought about it for a long time, and I think now is an opportunity for me to step away with what's going on here. I think we've got a really good linebacker room. I think Shaq and those guys are going to step and do a tremendous job. I just want to say thank you to the coaches, the players, the support staff, the training staff. Everybody involved with this organization has been the best from top to bottom since the day I got here.
Guy was an absolute beast. Personally, I say good for him.
They say, that's hard to listen to. You know, that when you hear a guy, his voice shaking and talking about how he wants to keep playing, but it's the right time.
I still want to play, but I don't think it's the right decision. So
that to me right there is like, all right, well, what's going on, man? Like, what's really going on? What's the bigger story? And you just don't know what these guys are going through.
He's missed a lot of games to concussions lately,
dude.
The last couple of years.
I mean, he plays hair on fire. He's one of the best in the business. I was reading a little bit about him yesterday. They're like, he's like the Tony Romo. He's the guy in the coaches' meetings that he's telling the coaches what's happening. And they're like, oh, wow, how did you see that move?
He never specifically blamed a medical problem, a concussion issue in that statement. But what wasn't said spoke very loudly.
No question about it.
There, man. And you kind of feel bad for him because, you want to do something. He's probably got some doctors who are telling him, if you keep playing,
this could happen.
We can't promise you anything. I mean, you have taken too many concussions. You could go down this degenerative path, CTE. It could all be in your future. It might all be in your future already. It's only going to get worse the more you play. That was one of the more heartbreaking early retirements in the NFL that we've heard.
Yeah, that was really sad. That's really sad.
And just another sign that sport, while right now the ratings are still huge, we're excited talking about conference championships, Super Bowl's coming up, it's going to be big, enormous. That sport is not entirely on solid footing because of this ongoing concussion health issue.
Now, superstars walking away from the game
at
29 years old is not good for your league.
And you still have less kids taking it up, playing Pop Warner, playing in high school football. They're picking other sports, or their parents are making them pick other sports at this point.
Yeah, the NFL's got to be certainly concerned about that a little bit. And guys, finally, a new study out of Dartmouth College, New Hampshire, looked at data from almost 8 million Americans over the past 3 decades to figure out when people are the most miserable. And the answer is
3 a.m.
when you're 47 years old.
Oh, my God. 3 years away.
Now, knowing you guys are just a couple of years away, basically our happiness as adults goes in a U-shape. So we're happy when we're 18.
Oh, so happy.
Then we start getting more and more miserable in our 20s and 30s and 40s, and it bottoms out at 47.2 years old. And then we start to get happier again.
Why would you get happier the older you get? That makes no sense.
By the time you hit 70, you're just as happy as you were when you were 18, according
to the
study.
Because then you don't care anymore. And when you go to the bathroom, you can just pull your pants all the way down, and it doesn't matter.
The researcher says that middle age is depressing because you realize your big dreams really aren't going to come true. But as you get older, you start to put your life in a better perspective and you become grateful for what you have, which is why you start getting happier again.
Bro, I've had no less than 17 midlife crises already. And I expect another 20 to 25 before I turn 50.
I'm lucky. All my dreams have come true. So I guess I don't have to, worry about it.
You're so full of it. Look, turning 40, I wanted to die. I really did. Well, you know about my low T when I turned 40, but I took it really, really hard. 50 is almost going to be impossible for me, just so you guys know.
It's the Rhino Report on a Wednesday.
You're listening to the Rhino Report on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Can we start our discussion?
Where it began.
You're right. Your singing voice has gone away.
I can't begin to know it, but then I know it's growing strong.
Go ahead.
You seem so joyful this morning. So joyful this morning.
And spring became the summer. Who'd have believed you'd come along?
Do you think that this is going to hamper the Red Sox and what they're going to do anyway?
Touching hands.
Not touching your hand.
Reaching out.
Not reaching out.
Touching me. I'm touching you. Sweet Caroline.
You've never been more of a Yankees fan than you are right now.
So good. So good. So good.
Only a Yankees fan would be this delighted in the misfortune of the Boston Red Sox.
It's the toughest of all scenes, isn't it?
Not really. I mean, what? Life goes on without Alex Cora.
I mean, dude, guy's a pretty solid. It's a pretty big loss, dude. Pretty big loss.
You say that. He came with no managerial experience whatsoever, won the World Series his first year. Why won't they just do that? He just plucks someone else out with no experience, and he can win the World Series again in their first year. It's just not that big of a deal.
All right.
You're so delighted.
Yeah, I can't stand Alex Cora. He's another one of the mouthy, we play the game the right way, guys. We do it the right way. We're the right way. We do it this way, my way. It's the right way. Deuces, pal. See ya. I can't, I'll dance on their grave, Ben, because you know what? My grave has been danced on many, many, many a time.
See, now, I'm not really...
You're not a grave
familiar
dancer.
With the concept. I mean, I understand what the concept is.
Yeah.
No one ever does it to Padres fans, because there's nothing to really celebrate.
Right.
Oh, Padres didn't make the playoffs. Woo-hoo. Even Dodgers fans don't really dance on the grave of Padres fans. No one cares when their season comes to an end. And at the very least, like even when the Padres got to the World Series and they lost, it was more like, hey, pat on the back. Job well done, guys. There was no celebration in the Padres losing, really, at any point that I can remember.
I mean, you see it a little bit. I mean, people take shots at the Padres, mostly Dodger fans. You know, I've seen a couple.
Oh, they have fans?
Yeah, the Padres have fans. But, you know, listen, I think if you're a fan of a team that, you know, employed Alex Rodriguez, you know, and like, yeah, you do. There's been some grave dancing done. And, you know, the Sox have been great, man. When I grew up, Ben, the best chant in all of sports, in the history of chants, was 1918. There's no chant that ever stung like the 1918 chant. When Yankee Stadium would be 1918, there's nothing you can say. You know that meme of the red-faced kid sitting at his computer just like, argh! There's nothing you can say to that. And then they win. They come back in historic fashion. Then they win again. Then they win again. Then they win again. They've had a phenomenal run. I can't stand Alex Cora. Well, I didn't like him. I didn't like him when he was with Houston.
The amount of grave dancing is inversely proportional to the arrogance of the fan base in question.
Of course.
And New England fans, at least over the last 15 years,
they're insufferable,
have been the most arrogant fans in all of sports. So when some misfortune occurs, when the Patriots get knocked out, when there's a Spygate type scandal, then people will come out and they will celebrate. They will get joy out of the misfortune of the Patriots. Now, the misfortune of the Boston Red Sox. The Yankees, of course, were, again, a lot of arrogant New Yorkers, Yankees fans. When
100%.
Bad things would happen to the Yankees, people will delight in their misfortune.
Oh, and listen, and listen.
The more arrogant your fan base, the more people will come out of the woodwork to celebrate your demise.
I mean, our boy Jean-Claude Van Damme, or whatever the hell his name is, on Twitter just tweeted me something. How dare Alex Cora, without any evidence at all, accuse the holy and innocent New York Yankees of malfeasance? We all know that Major League Baseball's most iconic and celebrated franchise, the vanguards of integrity, would never stoop to such levels, right? The thing is like, the Yankees-Red Sox Apple Watch thing happened in 2017, right? And I think the Yankees were going into the video room and they were looking and trying to relay signs. The Red Sox were doing the same thing. Then they had the Apple Watch. We talked about this yesterday. By no means have I ever said that the Yankees are the vanguards of integrity. I don't think that they are. They employed Alex Rodriguez. They employed Roger Clemens, Andy Pettit. You know, guys that admitted, hey, I use PEDs. But in this technology, hey, listen, could it very well come out next week that the Yankees were banging on trash cans or using? Yeah, of course. It could happen to the Brewers. Could happen to
the anybody. Dodgers.
The Dodgers. Like, I don't think any team is immune. And I said it yesterday.
It could happen to the Padres.
It could happen to the Padres. The thing is like, when you love a team and you conversely hate your rival, your opponent, like, who, man, you don't, is there a team you hate?
I really dislike the Dodgers.
And their fans, right?
I always have.
Yeah. And so, you know, if this happened to the Dodgers, would you take a victory lap? Are you a victory lap type of guy, or have you not been victory lapped so you don't feel the need to return it?
Maybe the latter.
Yeah.
That it just doesn't happen to us, so it's not my go-to instinct. I will certainly quietly go, okay, that's good. I'm glad misfortune has fallen my rival. But I don't know that I would be celebrating it so publicly. I'm always worried. Get my comeuppance soon.
That's the thing is I've had so much effing comeuppance that it, you know, because for years, man, you hear, well, listen, the Yankees buy their championships. They don't homegrown. The Red Sox, we don't buy our championships. Well, you're number one in payroll. That's different, though. We're different. We're not that flavor of ice cream. We can't just buy players.
Buying a championship seems very tame compared to,
there's no doubt,
the scandals that we're seeing, you know, coming out now.
That's fully, like, that's legal. My response to that was always, oh, you're telling me the owners put the money back into the team? I know, such a-holes. Isn't that the worst when your owner takes the money he makes and puts it back into the team? It's terrible. We hate that. That's such a jerky thing to do. But, man, this one, yeah, Alex Cora is the epitome of we do it the right way. And A.J. Hinch was the other epitome of, you know, talking trash about anybody that brought up anything wrong with their organization. And, you know, talk about comeuppance, they got theirs.
Well, we got to continue this discussion because we've got players on other teams are reacting to the Alex Cora, the A.J. Hinch news that is out yesterday. We'll get to some of that coming up here with Ben Woods on 97.3 The Fan. Let's get a check of traffic right now. Here's Kelly Danik. It's got to be one of the most misleading phrases that you hear often in the world of sports. Mutually parted ways. It's Ben Woods here, 97.3 The Fan, Wednesday morning. Glad to have you with us.
Have you ever mutually parted ways with anyone, Ben, professionally?
I'm sure that I could have framed it like that. Maybe an exit from a previous radio station at some point. I could have said, we mutually parted ways, but In reality, it rarely happens that ways are mutually parted. One side,
like, did you just wake up one morning?
Side,
I don't feel
gets,
like getting paid anymore.
One side gets the ball rolling on the parting of the ways, and then the other side sees the handwriting on the wall and goes, yeah, all right, I better get on board with this because I don't want everyone to say I was fired. So if I get on board with this now, we can call it a mutual parting of the ways.
I've mutually parted ways with girlfriends.
I think I have too.
I don't think I've ever mutually
with a job,
with
though.
An employer.
With a job, there's always one side that is more interested in parting ways than the other side. Maybe the Padres and Bruce Bochy was as close to an actual mutual parting of the ways as I can remember. Because that was when Sandy Alderson was ready to kind of move on from Boch. And I think Boch knew he had some other jobs that were interested, including the Giants. It's like, okay, I have a year left on my deal. Let's mutually part ways at this point. But ultimately, Alex Cora didn't wake up, you know, last week and go, I'm thinking about leaving this Red Sox gig, this job that I've had for 2 years and won a World Series. This is not a mutual parting of the ways. This is the Red Sox deciding, probably correctly, just as the Astros did, we can't go forward with the manager we have.
Right.
So how are we going to handle this? And they bring in Alex and, you know, say, you know, lay it out here. This is what it looks like. What do you see? And Alex goes, yeah, you know, I guess you're right. What do we do? And instead of having a drawn-out, like, legal battle over contract status, there was probably an agreement reached. Hey, we'll pay you out some of your – we'll pay out a little sum of your contract here, and we'll just call it a mutual parting of the ways. You save a little bit of face. We'll say something nice about you on the way out the door. Let's just make this a clean break and not ugly. And then you have this phrase, mutual parting of the ways.
Well, it was a preemptive strike, and I was listening. I tuned into WEEI yesterday, as I typically do anyway. Passionate sports fans, sometimes misguided sports fans, are funny. That's funny to talk about. I have been one in my life. I can still get that way from time to time. Ben, they had their version of Fan Fest coming up this weekend. They had their version of the there is a dinner that they do for like season ticket holders and things like that. I can't remember what they called it, but you can't go forward with all of this going on and have Alex Cora up there like, so how's the, you know, what does Xander Bogaerts need to improve on this year? Well, you know, what about Rafael Devers? You just couldn't have it. They had to make this move, and it begs the question: what the hell do the Mets do now? So Beltran, as we know, was a player on the Astros at the time when he and Alex Cora were essentially the masterminds of the trash can banging scheme. There's no two ways about it. Those two guys were essentially fingered as the guys that did this. Beltran was a player. He's protected under the Players Association from any punishment, but he's now a manager. He's a manager in a major, major market. He's not the manager of the Royals where he can kind of fade into obscurity. He's in New York. If you're the Mets, Ben, can you go forward with Carlos Beltran as your manager, knowing, you know, his involvement in it?
Why would you want to?
I think is
the other question.
Because it's everything's going to be over-scrutinized in New York. Everything's going to be really, really picked apart. You know, Beltran,
it's hard to part ways with a manager who's already won a World Series for you. Two teams have already done that.
They've done that last
2 days. It's a little easier for a guy who hasn't even managed a single game for you to say, you know what, before we get in too deep, this could turn out badly down the road. Maybe we shouldn't even start going down this path. Let's just make the break now. Here's the trouble with the Mets, though, is that Beltran may not be facing the kind of suspensions that Cora and Hinch were facing that made it more of a fait accompli for the Astros and the Red Sox. If MLB decides we can't really punish the players for that, the Mets probably be in like breach of contract if they got rid of Carlos Beltran. If he's not punished by MLB, then whatever, you know, signed a 3 or 4 year deal to become manager of the Mets, they might have to just say, we might have to pay you out the entire thing if we fired you right now, because it wouldn't be for cause. He didn't do anything with the Mets. He wasn't disciplined by Major League Baseball. That could be an issue that the Mets are now pondering. Like, what do we do? We don't have the safety blanket of the commissioner backing us up with this punishment that the Red Sox and the Astros did with their managers.
Yeah, it's interesting. This clip is circulating. A couple people have sent it to us right now. Alex Cora talking about the Yankees series in London when the Yanks and the Sox, it was just that gnarly, like so many runs scored and Yankees were kind of teeing off. Cora says, well, the best offseason acquisition for the Yankees was Carlos Beltran. And he throws a wink, right? Just kind of like a little wink at the camera. He goes, yeah, he's really helping them a lot. Now, you know, his old cheating buddy was a special advisor for the Yankees. And, yeah, I mean, again, like, I don't think any team is immune. I'm not going to get up here and say, like, I don't think that the Yankees are vanguards of integrity. I don't.
That's why guys like CeCe Sabathia, who came out and said the Yankees got cheated by the Red Sox, should be very careful.
Yeah.
Because that cloud could float right over on your team.
It's true. But the thing that, when I saw that yesterday.
Cody Bellinger said we were close. We did it the right way.
So, Ben,
Are you absolutely sure you did it the right way?
When I hear guys like CeCe, I'm not talking about like low-level guys on the team. I got to believe that you wouldn't say that unless you knew that your side of the street was clean. Do you?
Well, I mean, AJ Hinch certainly.
But he was in it. He was in it. Like, they were under investigation. Like, there were whispers about it. Everybody kind of knew it was going on. If you're CeCe Sabathia now and you're out of the game entirely, if you thought they were doing something, would you say a word? That's the thing. And you know, just so many people like attacked Trevor Bauer. So many people attacked, you know, all of those guys that had these questions. And it turns out that, yeah, man, look, do I think that this is the worst thing that's ever happened? I don't. I really don't. I do think that the outcomes of massive, massive games were changed. And I think when you do that you need to be punished.
We'll come back to this later. I know at Paul's pulled the audio at 8 o'clock. You have to tune in. Mad Dog Russo, our new friend that we met at baseball's winter meetings
and
had on with us. Yeah, our buddy just went off on this topic, and we've got the audio.
It was like listening to myself with a New York accent. It's the rant that I've been doing for a year.
So we'll play that for 8 o'clock.
Four, he's at a volume 12.
I'm at a 4, he's at a 12. But it's essentially... Can I tell you that I felt a small sense of pride when I watched it yesterday? I was like, well,
no doubt.
He finally articulated it the way I've been trying to.
So that we'll get to that a little bit later, but we want to turn our attention to the AFC Championship game coming up on Sunday. Our guy in Kansas City, Mick Schaefer, sports director at 41 Action News. We've had him on before. Good guy, getting ready to cover the Chiefs and the Titans. He's going to check in with us for a few minutes. We'll play a little real or fake. We've got more golf tickets to the Farmers Insurance Open to give away. It is all coming up next with Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. If you missed it earlier this hour, Woodsy was singing, but you don't have to miss anything. If you're using our radio.com app, you can use the new rewind feature, go right back and listen to Woodsy in all of his glory, rubbing it in to the Boston Red Sox by singing Sweet Caroline.
It's my favorite
Just
song.
Just rewind about 20 minutes or so.
My favorite
it's very
song.
Easy. And if you haven't downloaded it, do so today. Our radio.com app is a great way to listen to more Ben and Woods. We love it when you listen in the car on the way to work.
Yes. It's
fantastic. You are very much appreciated. If you up that with some app listening, you know, when you're at work, when you're at home, that's even better. Really.
Yeah. You can use smart speaker as well. There's a million ways to listen.
It's a competition to really see how much Ben and Woods you can listen to.
Yeah, just get it all in you.
I mean, there's 4 hours available every day.
Every day.
All four? It's a challenge. Let's just say it's a challenge. You know, you may not succeed right away, but you work up to it, you'll get there. I promise you. We're going to talk AFC Championship game here in a second with our buddy Mick Schaefer in Kansas City. Right now, though, let's get a check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan with Kelly Danick. Play our daily game of real or fake in 10 minutes. Chance for you to win a pair of tickets to next week's Farmers Insurance Open out at Torrey Pines. Right now, though, we're going to go out to our SDCCU fan hotline, joined by the guy we turn to anytime there's news out of Kansas City. And well, they'll be hosting an AFC Championship game this Sunday. The sports director at 41 Action News, Mick Schaefer, joining us here on 97.3 The Fan. Mick, it's great to have you on this morning. I know as a TV sportscaster, this is a huge week for you.
Oh, my gosh. It's a month of work this week. I'm learning in the last couple years, because it's the second straight year Kansas City's made it to this AFC Championship game.
Here's the funny thing, though. About 3 weeks ago, as they went into Week 17, Woodsy, of the season, the Kansas City Chiefs were looking like a team that's going to have to play in the wild card weekend. In fact, a team that's probably going to have to play a hot Tennessee Titans team on the wild card weekend and have Derrick Henry coming into Arrowhead a couple of weeks ago. Because the Patriots lost, they get the bye, they win their way in. Now they get to host the AFC Championship, and you get that matchup against the Titans this week. That's kind of one of those things that sometimes fate, sometimes it looks like the stars are aligning for a team, Mick.
Things never bounce this way for the Kansas City Chiefs, right?
That's so true.
This has turned into a happy fun slide all the way to the Super Bowl. Don't get me wrong, Tennessee's a tough opponent. It's going to be a tough go on Sunday. But like you mentioned, this was a team destined for the 3 seed to have to play a team in Tennessee in a wild card game, a team that's been its nemesis, and then go play 2 games on the road to get to the Super Bowl. Instead, they get Houston at home, and then another game against the 6 seed in the AFC Championship game to get to the Super Bowl. It's hard. It's always going to be hard, but it'll never be this easy again for the Chiefs to get this far.
Yeah, you definitely feel like, it, like Ben said, the stars may be aligning for the Kansas City Chiefs. We're talking to Mick Schaefer, sports director at 41 Action News in Kansas City, and I got to ask you, though, I mean, the panic you must have felt in the first quarter of last week's game, were people just, it was one of those games that, like, you wouldn't be surprised if, we talked about the guy, the Jinx guy
the
that
Jinx
left.
Guy, yes.
He's like, I'm done, I'm out, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
Were you in full-blown panic mode?
Well, I mean, I wasn't in panic mode. I was going to reintroduce myself to my family. I was going to be able to, like, see my kid play basketball games. I was going to, you know, work only a 10-hour day instead of 18. So I was like, okay, you know, my schedule's going to clear out. And really, it was less panic and more here we go again, guys, because this is the team before that game that was 1-8 in their last 9 home playoff games. The only win in that stretch in the last 25 years had been last year against the Colts. So they hadn't seen a lot of this before as far as winning goes. They had seen that first quarter before, just to collapse in every area of the game. And then something we hadn't seen really since last year happened. That was this offense unleashed. And it was impressive. It was maybe the most explosive I've seen Patrick Mahomes in this offense, which is saying something. 7 straight touchdown drives. And so we were kind of reminded, okay, what this offense is capable of, because they were in desperation mode, down 4 scores, really. It was 24-0, which is technically 3, but they scored the touchdown, and they went for the extra point, not 2. So they're basically down 4 scores, and they erased it, guys, in less than 10 minutes. They had the lead at halftime. It was like nothing I'd ever seen. People would be talking about that game, regardless of what happened Sunday. People will be talking about that Texans game for decades.
We look at the playoffs. We try to, you know, read the tea leaves. Who's a good coach in the playoffs? Who's a bad coach? You only maybe get to coach 1 or 2 playoff games a season at most. Sometimes you don't even make the playoffs. What do you make of the narrative about Andy Reid being a great regular season coach, but when the playoffs come around, just not quite the same guy? What does it look like up close to you?
I think there's got to be some truth to it, because he's played 27 playoff games in his career. He's 13-14, which isn't a horrible record, but there are a lot of trends. And look, it's this championship game. He's 1-5. I mean, I've said this is like kryptonite wrapped in a half-court shot for Andy Reid. He's 1-5 in conference championship games. He's 1-8 against the Titans. So a couple of big trends to buck here if you're Andy Reid. I think the deal is, not that he's not the same guy in the postseason. He is the same guy. Whereas other coaches, other teams ramp things up, and it is a faster game. It is a different game for them. There's more of a sense of urgency. He kind of does his same old thing, which works on the regular, whether it's regular season or postseason. It works. The guy wins games. It just hasn't worked in the postseason, and there needs to be that little something extra. And for me, the something extra is Patrick Mahomes. We saw it last year. They were 1 offside call away from making the Super Bowl, and now they're on the doorstep yet again.
Talking to Mick Schaefer from 41 Action News in Kansas City. Yeah, I think a 51-3 run will help a team's psyche, you know. And I look, I love what the Titans have done. They're a fun story. It's you know, I was talking to a buddy the other day, and I said, well, I mean, are we going to be the guys that bet against this team again. And I think, you know, when you have that kind of swag that you can throw up 51 points in a playoff game, that you're feeling pretty good about your chances. But when you look at the matchup, you know, do you see the defense being able to withstand, you know, 180 to 190 yards from Derrick Henry, because that's what he's been doing?
I do, and I'll tell you why. Last time they played, the Chiefs lost 35-32. But as is the case really in the last three or four times, because the Chiefs have lost the last four to Tennessee, it's taken fluky things to get there. The Chiefs had a fumble. LeSean McCoy fumbled the ball. The Titans picked it up and ran it back for a touchdown last time around. The Chiefs botched two field goals. And I'm blanking, but a couple other things, just kind of fluky things happened. And yet they were still up 29-20 with 5 minutes left to go in that game. And, of course, the defense collapses. The offense can't get enough first downs. They botch a field goal, and then Ryan Tannehill's able to lead a touchdown drive in the end. Really, the Chiefs should have won that game and probably should have won that game by two scores. And Derrick Henry had 198 yards or something like that. The yardage really didn't matter. To where, look, he's going to be – I think the second best player on the field. A lot of people think the best. He's amazing. He's a beast. He can run like a deer. But I'm more confident in this week's game than I am last week's game, just because of the quarterback position and what it means in 2020 in this day and age in football. And frankly, Ryan Tannehill is the difference. And I think that difference means a win for Kansas City.
Mick Woods always accuses me of trying to tie everything to San Diego, localized stories.
Mostly because he does.
But as important as Patrick Mahomes is, and yeah, obviously the most critical player right now in the Chiefs, Damian Williams, Mira Mesa High School here in San Diego,
look at you,
has really stepped up. I mean, maybe that one of the big difference makers for the Chiefs, who needed a successor to Kareem Hunt, and you know, how critical basically have his contributions been for this team in this postseason run?
Well, I'm gonna tie everything back to myself here, because I'm a great journalist too. I'm an Oklahoma State fan, so I hated Damian Williams for like 4 years
at OU,
Oklahoma,
yeah,
right? But he has come to Kansas City, and he has been what they needed. Look, it's a drop off from Kareem Hunt. They miss him a lot. That's the biggest difference between this historic offense last year, right, and what is a really good, a great offense this year, but not even the best in football. And Williams, both seasons, has really turned on his game in the postseason. He's played, what, three postseason games, and he's already the Chiefs' touchdown leader all time in playoff games. So he was huge last week, not just running the ball, but he's a threat out of the backfield. His pass pro is good enough. And in a room, the running back room, that was kind of by committee for a lot of games, you had LeSean McCoy, you had Darrell Williams, you had Darwin Thompson. It was really Damian's job to be had, and I think he played all but two snaps on Sunday, and he's going to be the workhorse coming this week. But yeah, so he's been huge. Your San Diego guy has been big for Kansas City, really, these last two postseasons.
We also had Eric Bieniemy play for the Chargers. I remember a couple of years when I was growing up watching him play. Greatest Chris Berman nickname, I think, in football history.
Sleeping with Bieniemy.
Eric sleeping with Bieniemy. I love that one.
Mercedes Benzinger. It's up there with that one, too.
Oda B. Young again, McDowell. Amazing.
Yep.
Yeah, just incredible.
No, sleeping with Bieniemy just works
so good.
Well, and he'll have a coaching job, I think, soon. Look, he hasn't even finished his second year as an offensive coordinator, and there were only five openings this year. A lot of times there's eight or nine. He'll get one. I wonder if Andy's success with other coordinators is hurting him, because Andy always has a good offense, right? And I wonder if the success of Patrick Mahomes is hurting him, and that, like, okay, yeah, you got Mahomes and Andy Reid, you could stick anybody in that role and he could be a good offensive coordinator, which I don't know, might be true. So it's funny. I wonder if for once the success of a coordinator's you know, offense or defense is actually coming back to hurt him.
Mick, good stuff. I know you get a busy week. We'll let you get back to it. Thanks for spending some time with us.
Appreciate it.
See you guys.
That's Mick Schaefer. Thanks, from 41 Action News in Kansas City and our SDCCU fan hotline. San Diego County Credit Union has low mortgage loan rates. Apply today. Equal housing opportunity. For details, call 877-SDCCU4U or visit SDCCU.com. Now is the time to start dialing in to play some real or fake. 833-288-0973. 833-288-0973. We need one contestant to go head-to-head against Woods. We play five rounds trying to separate real from fake. And if you can beat or tie Woods, we hook you up with a prize. We do it every single day at this time. I'll get a lot to get to on our 7 o'clock hour. We'll get back to the Alex Cora firing, the scandal in baseball, the Aztecs at 18-0. But right now, let's play a little real or fake.
Some are here for the compelling sports talk with Ben and Woods.
Yeah, you can go plow through another donut.
It's time for Real or Fake on 97.3 The Fan. Tell the people what they'll win today.
Got a pair of tickets to the 2020 Farmers Insurance Open at Torrey Pines. Don't forget, Jim Rome going to be broadcasting live next week from the Farmers Insurance Open, so keep it locked in here to 97.3 The Fan. Woody, I have to ask you,
shoot,
what were you doing last night on Twitter?
Oh, I was texting a sugar daddy bot.
We'll have to get into that in a second.
All right, let's do that.
We will talk about that.
Here trying to make a little extra money. It's called Side Hustle. Maybe you've heard of it.
We'll get the whole skinny on that in about 10 minutes. First, though, we're going to welcome Francisco in Imperial Beach to our game this morning. Francisco, welcome to Ben and Woods and Real or Fake. How are you?
Hey, how you guys doing? Happy Hump Day, guys.
You too, man.
Don't say that to Woods, Francisco.
I thought he said Happy Holiday.
No, Happy Hump Day.
Oh, Happy Hump Day.
He hates Hump Day.
I hate Hump Day.
You know how to play our game?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Five rounds, and Woods, trying to fill those slow hours on Twitter last night, we will be taking Real or Fake into the cyber realm this morning. For today's game, you will have to determine if I am giving you the real name of a failed social media website.
Ooh.
Or a fake I've come up with for the purposes of our game.
I like it.
Woods, are you ready to go?
I'm ready.
All right, here we go. Real or fake. The Hive. Real or fake.
Sounds real. Damn it.
That's why I tried to make it sound real.
Should
it is
be.
Not. All right, Francisco. Yik Yak. Real or fake social media website.
Real?
Yes. Valued at $400 million at its peak.
God.
Anonymous messaging. All right, one for Francisco, zero for Woods. Round two, Woodsy. Let's go with Friend Feed. Real or fake?
Fake.
Facebook bought it for $15 million cash in 2009. It's gone now. No points for Woods. Francisco, round two. Let's try Meerkat. Real or fake, Francisco?
Fake.
That one's real. Video platform that was eventually driven out by Twitter and Facebook. All right, 1-0, Francisco, as we go to round three of real or fake social media websites. Woodsy, Ether Friend, real or fake?
Ether Friend, fake.
That was fake. Point for Woods. All right, Francisco, round three for you. Person to Person, real or fake social media website, Francisco?
Let's go with fake.
It is fake. Point for Francisco. Very good. 2-1 is the score. Go to round number four. Woodsy, Red Room. Real or fake social media website?
Red Room. I'll say fake.
Fake. Very good, Woods. 2-2.
I'm creeping.
Getting down to the nitty-gritty here. Round four. Francisco, real or fake? Friendster. Real or fake? Friendster, Francisco.
Let's go with fake.
No, that was a real one. Yeah, I knew that one.
Some people were actually on that one. I know people who were on Friendster.
Creep.
All right, we're tied going into the final round. Here we go, Woodsy. Real or fake social media website? Pangea. Real or fake?
Pangea. It sounds fake, so I'll say real.
Gotcha.
Oh, you got me.
Gotcha. Francisco, last one for the all-out win. Real or fake, Francisco? Daily Booth. Real or fake?
Real.
It is a photo site encouraging captions, and by a 3-2 score,
wow,
you have taken down Woods, Francisco, and you are the winner of a pair of passes to the Farmers Insurance Open. Nice plan, Francisco. Congratulations. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you very much. Real or fake with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Still not sure what you were doing on Twitter last night. I was, like, cringing.
I know. You were.
I was going, don't. There's just nothing good that can come.
I was laughing my ass off.
What you were doing last night. I was so worried for you. I just thought, I mean, his credit card numbers are going to be stolen. We might end up. I don't know what's going on.
I'll explain.
Blackmail might be involved at some point.
I'll explain.
I was so worried. All right, we'll get to that coming up. We'll also. I want to get a little bit into the retirement of what was a San Diego legend. I don't think anyone even noticed yesterday. That's next. Half the show still to go. Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.